Let's talk about Spider-Fuck. Why do you want to talk about it?
Sure, yeah, I'm open.
First of all, I was going to use the word inspiration. I'm not sure that that's the right word, but I will use it anyway. What was the inspiration to write that piece?
Well, I'd been reading Tales of Beatnik Glory by Ed Sanders,
Yeah,
right?
Sanders, right.
Yeah. And I love that book, a great book. And I was enjoying it so much. And there was a word in there, hirsute, that he uses a lot. He's very well read, by the way. Reads Greek too, I believe.
Studied, you majored in that in college, I believe.
Is that
I
it?
believe so,
Ah,
yeah.
yeah. He has a wonderful vocabulary and beautiful sensitivity to words. And I just fell in love with that word, hirsute. And you'll find hirsute in Spider-Fuck, and it just sort of, like the piece of grit in the oyster, the pearl formed around that word, hirsute.
Oh, is that what it is? And this is I was going to say homoerotic, but not ho well, in a way it is homoerotic, isn't it?
She's female.
Well, she is female, that's
She's
right.
female. It's trans species.
Yeah. So but there's a buggery component.
Well, there's only one orifice for an arachnid called a cloaca, which serves as, pizzle, anus, and vagina. Does, triple duty. So,
Your options are limited
your options are limited. Thank you.
from a fiction point of view, and otherwise they're limited.
Right.
So the very graphic story about fantasizing and going through with this act is something you decide is what you're going to read at Bumbershoot. Bumbershoot, a large annual festival during Labor Day weekend, happens at Seattle Center, and you're there. And I wasn't there, but I've heard stories of it. Were there children in the crowd? There could be. I mean, it's an all ages affair. Certain parts of Bumbershoot are sort of roped off for beer gardens, but I don't remember the Alki Room ever being 21 and older. So, can you set the scene for us and tell us why that was the piece you were going to read at that particular time?
I had just written the piece in February of that year, late February, early March,
And
and
what year is it we're talking about?
1995.
95, yeah.
And I was privileged that year to be guest faculty at Naropa Institute in Boulder, Colorado. And that meant I taught school for a week, my only school teaching experience. I enjoyed it very much. And the obligation, among other things, was to read at the faculty reading night. And I had just written this story. It had just been accepted by Poetry Motel in Minneapolis, I think, which was one of my favorite magazines at the time. And the editor gave me very good feedback. Coincidentally, the editor had just visited me and met me the month before. And spontaneously, he said, Willie, Spiderfuck is your best story. And Patrick had read like 20 of my stories and, printed maybe half that many. And so I thought, well, I need to read this story. Also, because I liked it and I felt good about it. I write a lot of crap. I write a lot of stuff that I don't feel good about. I just don't. And I'm embarrassed to have written it. But I never felt that way about Spiderfuck. I felt good. I thought, I actually got it together here. I hit the nail on the head. So I read it at Naropa. It went over spectacularly. It was so well received. A group of students came up to me after the reading and said, Willie, you have redeemed Naropa from last year inflicting upon us Ken Kesey. So I thought, well, gee, I'm on a roll. I'll just read this at Bumbershoot because I still felt good about it. Now, it's true, when I feel good about a story after reading it a couple of times, it gets worn thin and I can't read it with the same dynamism and interest. But that wasn't the case. I still felt really good about it. So I thought, well, I'll go with it.
So you, do you remember the MC that year?
I don't. Gosh, I don't think I do.
That would have been 4 years before I emceed that stage. But so I'm picturing you going on to the stage there at the Alki Room, one of the Northwest rooms at Bumbershoot.
I guess.
And then what? Can you tell us what happened?
You know, I think Judith Roach might have been the MC. But yeah, I went up to the podium with my can of tea that I think had beer in it because I drank at the time. I guess it's been over 7 years, so you can't nail me for that either. I know that's a crime. I'm sorry. And I started reading the story, and I became aware after the first two or three paragraphs that there was the audience was divided into thirds as far as their reaction. One third of the audience liked the story immensely. One third of the audience had no idea what was going on. And the other third of the audience wanted to kill me. And the third of the audience that wanted to kill me, as aggressive people will do, eventually took over the reaction that was coming back at me. They started rhythmically chanting, you know, get him off the stage or never again or things like that. But I managed to finish the song. My energy flagged after about 12, 15 minutes, and it took 20 minutes to read the story. So the last 5 minutes was kind of painful. I've never read the story since.
Yeah.
But it was a good experience. You know, it was fine. And I got paid to do it.
Mm-hmm. Like you say, the murder is an act of love. Do you think what these people were doing was an act of love?
Oh, definitely.
How so?
Because they had such a strong reaction. They were reacting to something that had been touched inside them that had never been touched before.
What do you think that is?
What had been touched?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. But they had strong reactions.
Yeah.
Which you think behind that is love, ultimately.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Love is all about passion and enthusiasm.
The opposite of love isn't hate, it's apathy, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, that's very good. I like that. Yeah, that's good.
What does Susan say about your work?
I think she likes it. Well, that's how we met. She came to one of my poetry readings and basically never got out alive.
Do you want to chime in for yourself?
Yeah, I can say that that is initially what attracted me to Willie, but I like things to be kind of real, and he's real.
He's real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, why do you say that? Why do you use that word? He's not holding anything back, is it? Is that part of it? Or
I just think he pulls back the veils. You know, what he says is very, very well said, very basic, and very kind of archetypal.
Uh-huh. It's very interesting that something like that would come out of Seattle, that many people say is passive aggressive, or they're Seattle nice, or that kind of thing. What do you think? Is that a weird juxtaposition, or could someone like Willie only come from a place like Seattle?
Well, he's not from Seattle.
Well, I mean, but you know, he's writing here and he's chosen here to live, and
he has. But I think I'm third generation from this area, and maybe that's why I liked him so much, because he's not such a Seattle type person at all. Hmm. Yeah,
that's interesting. Willie, you got a couple more questions.
Yeah, I'll be right there, Paul. All right. I put the spaghetti away.
I think we can hear you okay.
Fine.
Who do you envision as your typical reader? I know that Robert Duncan thought that a middle-aged, somewhat overweight woman was his ideal reader, and maybe someone he wrote to. I don't think I ever read him writing to that person, but that's who he saw as a perfect reader or ideal reader. Who do you see as your ideal reader?
Wow, I have never thought in those terms. That's very interesting. I like that. I'll get back to you in a couple of months. I'll have to ruminate on that. I don't really think about an audience when I write. I think about hitting the nail on the head, which usually makes me not hit the nail on the head. But I've never been able to think about an audience, because why bother? I don't have an audience, really. I'm an unknown writer.
Well, but I mean, you've been published in Exquisite Corpse and other fine magazines, and you have a certain reputation. You've lectured at Naropa, so you've achieved a certain degree of I don't want to say fame or notoriety or some kind of blip on the cultural at least the literary radar screen.
Yeah, you're probably right about that, but I don't write. I would like to make money off my writing. Everybody would, of course, but. To me, thinking about your audience means thinking about making money. And it also means limiting your creativity.
Right.
It means limiting what you want to do. And the reason I write is because I want to do it. Because I want to do something that is right, that is correct. And it's very hard for me to do that. It's a real challenge. I suppose that's one of the good things, because it's taken me all my life to squeeze out the few little pieces that I have that I think are correct.
Mm-hmm. You think this book is a good representation of
it? I think it is. I think it's very good.
Yeah. A lot of people see your work as a critique of American culture.
Yeah, this is possible, but I kind of stray away from shitting on America too much. I mean, it's the human condition. I don't have anything against America. I mean, it's my own country. I grew up here. I love this country. I think it's a good nation. What the hell? We just happen to be rich. Nobody likes the rich, and the rich are always a pack of assholes. So we're a pack of assholes. And that's the way I portray us.
Oh, pretty effectively, I think. What do you hope that people get from your stories? Do you think the reaction of your wife is kind of what you're shooting for? Or are there a variety of responses that you can envision people getting from reading your work?
I wasn't listening to Susan. I was putting away the spaghetti. But I think the reaction that I want to provoke, is that the question?
What do you hope people get from your stories?
Oh. Education and entertainment, I guess, those two items. I like to put forth what I've gleaned from my reading. I love culture. There's such a thing as culture. All this stuff that's been handed down to us for these thousands of years, and I'm concerned that it might get lost, and I'd like to put little pieces of that in my work. So that people, at least people who read me carefully, will see these things. And like you, use your dictionary or your encyclopedia and be encouraged to go out there and look at this stuff, just as I've looked at it, because it's a good experience. I guess that's the education part.
Yeah, so someone, let's say teenagers, someone like Beavis and Butthead are attracted to your work because you're urinating in quart bottles and then doing inappropriate things with it. We'll just leave it at that. And then they see the word scolias and they have to look that up and they realize that this is a scholar of the ancient scholar and commentator of the ancient poetry. So maybe they see it first and there and it awakens something in them. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they do one of two things. They do what you're saying, or else they say, oh, he misspelled it. He means basement scholastic, like the National Scholastic magazine. And they don't do that. And I don't really care which they do. Again, that's not my concern. My concern is getting it correct, getting it right. But that's kind of a secondary, I don't know, wish, wishful thinking, when I want to think good thoughts about myself and my work.
Do you miss Red Sky Poetry Theater?
Yes, of course.
What is
immensely.
It? What was it about Red Sky that you miss?
Gee, just a place to go where I could stand up and read to a crowd of folks who would listen to me, and vice versa. I could listen to people read. I enjoy other people reading, even when they're reading stuff that's completely different from what I write. And, well, I'm interested in everything, so I can't really say different from what I'm interested in, but different from what I write. I enjoy listening to people read.
But being that sense of community where you could come with your new piece and read it and people know where you're coming from and not want to shut you down like they did at Bumbershoot.
Well, you know, I don't regret Bumper Shoot. I didn't mind the way those people reacted. And sometimes that would happen at Red Sky. You know, there'd be folks that didn't like my work or, were in a bad mood that night, so heckled me or whatever. And that's almost enjoyable. And when it's like, you know, going to Europe, you don't necessarily enjoy being there at the time because you're poor and, you know, you've got bugs and whatnot. But you come back home and you reflect upon it, and it was an educational experience, and you're glad you went.
Right.
It's being heckled is kind of like that. You know, it's not too pleasant while it's happening. But when you go home, you think, wow, that was a wild party, man. That was an energetic scene, which is how I look at the Bumper Shoot reading. You know.
So is he going to chime in?
Well, I was just going to say, I was there, of course. I was with some friends. And I get really emotionally invested when there's a strong reaction in the audience, just because I'm, you know, Willie's spouse. But I was, I hustled him out of there. I was pretty shot. However, a couple days later, I was talking to a friend, and she was on a plane, and she sat down next to a guy. I can't remember if they're coming or going from her to Seattle. Guy sat next to her, and she asked him how Bumper Shoot was. He said he saw this performance. There was this guy named Willie Smith reading. And he thought it was great, but some people wanted to kill him. Which is pretty funny that she heard that from a stranger.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for your comments.
Sure.
Says, Willie, thanks for letting me come in your house and feeding me spaghetti and talking about spider fuck and other stories.
Entirely my pleasure, Paul. And, you come by anytime you wish, on official business or not.
Okay. Nothing Doing is the name of the book. Nothing Doing. It's published by Honest Publishing. You can find them on the online, honestpublishing.com.